Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who though he once was slain, has burst his 3-day prison. Our faith is not in vain. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen. Fine oil for the lamps and most holy bread for the priests. What's going on here? We have 12 loaves. 12 makes them a little Israel, which may be a hint as to where we're going. Flour provided by the people, baked into cakes by the priests, set out fresh each Sabbath day. 2/10 an ephah of fine flour per loaf. 1/10 would be cheating, 3/10 gluttony. Precisely 2.4 ephah of flour are in play each week, which really doesn't sound like a lot to sustain the priesthood, does it? But it's in such close proximity to the presence of God in his most holy place that one supposes nearly anything could happen. 6 loaves to the pile, 2 piles just so. Don't do it otherwise, you Nadabites and Abihuites, because you know how the Lord gets when you mess up the divine service, when you mess up the worship, when you mess up anything through which he desires to show forth the deep Christological meaning that underlay it all. The 12 loaves of our text are for the sustenance of the priesthood, and they are to eat it in a holy place. Priests are born, not made, born of the house of Levi, born of the sons of Aaron, born of the water and of the Spirit, born again from above, born of God by his grace. Priests are born of God, and they are sustained by the bread from God. But just as the way that priests are born changed when our great high priest appeared on the scene, so also the bread was replaced when he came. Oh, when that great Sabbath came, there was new bread. The old was overtaken. Its promises were subsumed by the new. When the bread of life came to provide sustenance to the priesthood, it was necessary that the old covenant fade because the New Testament swallowed it whole. And where the New Testament is in force, where that bread of the New Testament is found, there you will find the priests. When the priestly bread is at table, there are those born of water and of the Spirit, those whom Peter labels a holy priesthood. The Israel of 12 loaves became the Israel of 1 loaf when Israel was reconstituted in the person and flesh of Jesus Christ, the promised second Adam. And from out of that whole nation of priests in him, the Son drew forth 12 modest 2-ephah loaves to feed his priesthood. Simon, son of John, he said to one of the loaves, "Do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs." Many of you, my dear friends, have just received divine calls into the office of the holy ministry and will soon be ordained. God has made you to be an answer to the constant prayer of the priesthood, that prayer that rises up to the throne of God like frankincense, as the church now offers you up to be baked into consecrated loaves, that prayer that's continuously on her lips as she speaks, as with one mouth, beseeching God, "Give us this day, dear Father in heaven, our daily bread." You are bread for the priesthood, because Christ is bread for the priesthood. And he is putting you in your proper place to be his instrument, his mouth, his hands, his bread. By God's grace, you are well-measured loaves, whose desire is to feed the sheep entrusted to your care with the bread of life that is Christ Jesus. Priests are born, not made. And Christ himself, to whom all authority has been given, is now giving to you the authority in his name, to give birth to priests from out of defeated Adam, to raise them up alive before God, and to sustain them to their promised end. This is who you are. And this is why you are being sent. Do you love me? He asks. Tend my sheep. But don't get cocky, bread shepherds. The priestly children had bread before you got there, perhaps inferior, perhaps superior. That's for the Lord to judge, and it's really none of your affair. And when you've run your course, and you enter at last into your own Sabbath rest, God will provide another bread in answer to the frankincensial prayer of the priesthood. Another bread, but not a different bread, because your breadness consists in the office into which you are being placed. Christ establishes and upholds the office, and he has promised to be with the office of the holy bread that he mandated even unto the end of the age. You can't feed the sheep, but Jesus can, and he wishes to do it through you. You are bread for the priesthood because Christ is bread for the priesthood. Dear brothers and sisters, bread is for eating. When it feeds the children, it's fulfilled the purpose for its having been made. But sometimes the bread is devoured by beasts. The fact is that beasts respect steel, but they have little regard for bread. You are weak in the world, pastors and pastors elect, like your Lord before you. And you know, Satan is going to try to grind you in his mill, as he's done many before you. I am the wheat of God, says Ignatius, as he was being ground in that mill on his way to martyrdom in Rome. Suffer me to become food for the wild beasts. Let me be ground by their teeth, that I may be found to be the pure bread of Christ. Bread is as bread does, sirs. You wage war, pastors elect, not by being priestly soldiers, but by being bread. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. We cannot know, dear Christians, by what kind of death we each will glorify God, nor even by what kind of life, finally, we will confess him or fail to confess him before men. Our times are in his hands. Our times and our faith, our lives, our everything. I don't know what you're going to face in the place where you've been called to serve, but I'd bet that it'll be cruciform, at least at times. But our text reminds us that it's the beaten olive that provides the fine oil for the lamps. Where God is, there is no darkness. There can be no darkness. But as he's veiled in the tabernacle, so he is veiled and hidden in the world. And so there have, there has to be light to shine in the darkness. There have to be the lamps and oil for the lamps so that the lamps can do what lamps do. And our text reminds us that it's the bruised olive that yields the oil that's consumed in order to shine forth the presence of the Lord into the world. It's the wheat that dies that bears much fruit. It's the grain that's ground and kneaded together, baked with fire, and finally chewed with teeth that feeds the priesthood. Being bred for the priesthood may well be a violent business with respect to your person. And indeed, it must be. Let your ego be crucified then. And look to the one who feeds the flock. The whole flock, including you. Look to the one who feeds the flock by means of the office that he is entrusting to you. Christ Jesus is bread for the holy priesthood, and therefore you are bread for the holy priesthood. It isn't the bread, finally, that feeds the priesthood, but it's the one who gives bread. Likewise for the office, it's Christ who speaks the absolution. He's the one who consecrates the elements. He puts his name on the tiny head by means of tap water and tap people like you and me. And whatever cross might be in it for you, I can assure you, there's peace and joy and sustenance enough and even more in greater measure than you can imagine for you if by God's grace you can remember your first love who first loved you and fix your eyes on him and never forget that he is your portion, your hidden manna, your bread of life given for you and given for the royal priesthood. And he will sustain us each and every day. Persist in this, all you consecrated loaves, and God in his grace will save both you and those who are fed through you. In Jesus' name, amen.